Okay, we'll start off with the Gemara Yevamos. The Gemara Yevamos, which has now been put on a Mayan voice choir song, says the following. Amru Shemasa Elef Zugin Talmidim Hoylohu Rabbi Akiva Negivat Varan Tifres. It was said that 12,000 pairs of Talmidim Rabbi Akiva had from Givat to Antiferes, Bukula Meisu Bukarak Echad, and they all died in one time period, Mifneshu Mahogu Kavod Zelazeh, because they did not. We're not really kavod to each other. The Haya Ha'olam Shamim Achavar Rabbi Akiva Echara Basayim Hashem Bedarom Vashana Lahem. And the world was empty of Torah. Until Rabbi Akiva came to Rabbi Sayim Hashem Bedarom and taught them, and the Gemara lists them, Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Shimon, and Rabbi Elazar ben Shamua.
Does that mean the world was void of Torah?
Yeah.
Literally? There was no Torah? Or does it
mean? No, it's not.
However you understand that. We're not getting into that now. Ali holds it was not void of Torah.
Oh, I didn't know that.
So, the Gemara here says, and there is a question that many people ask on this Gemara, and that is, it's a very funny thing that we see here that 24,000 Talmidim Rabbi Akiva died during the time period between Pesach and Shavuot, because they were not only Kovah Zelazah, we know that Rabbi Akiva was obviously a big tzaddik, and he's the one who taught the, you know, the Haftar Melech HaKamocha Zed Klagol Torah, and it's very hard to imagine, as many of us have asked, that the Talmidim Rabbi Akiva were not only Kovah Zelazah. More specifically, the Yisrael Chayim asks a very nice question in the Gemara. The Gemara seems to be mashmah fakir, because the Gemara starts off and says, doesn't say there are 24,000 Talmidim, it says there were 12,000 zugos, 12,000 pairs. So the Yisrael Chayim says zugos is mashmah, they were pairs, that there was achlus amongst them. That's what a zug is achlus. And it's mashmah, there was achlus amongst them. It's funny that the next line you go and say that there were no ikavod zelazeh. That's question number one.
Zugas
pairs. That's question number one. So just what's the pshat that the Talmid Rabbi Akiva would not know covers all of that. Question number two I'd like to address is a question that the Sefer HaChinuch asks. Sefer HaChinuch wants to know why when we count Sefiras HaOmer, why we're counting our way up instead of counting our way down. If we're counting towards Kabbalah Satara, so why are we counting 1, 2, 3? Usually if you're looking forward to something, you count on the way down. So I would like to suggest a different answer than the Sefer HaChinuch, but just to tell you the Sefer HaChinuch's answer, I think it's a little bit of a funny answer. He says, we don't want to count down, because if we start from 49, 48, we'll get depressed that it's so far away. And then he takes it so seriously that he then asks, well, maybe we should go up in the beginning, then when we reach halfway, then we should go back down, so count towards it. That's what he asks. And he says, we don't do that because we don't change the order of the counting in the middle. That he even suggests such a question. But I want to just stick with his kasha now, with his terah, his kasha of why we're counting up. If we count this Kabbalah Torah, why are we counting up? We should before be counting down. And just to add on to that, another question which the Mefarshim asks, which is, why are we counting to the Omer? What's so special about the Korban Omer that we're counting? This is the 15th day of the Omer. Referring back to the Korban Omer, what's special about the Korban Omer? Especially since, as we know, the Korban HaOmer was brought from Sa'orim, and not from Chitim. Sa'orim is known as, throughout Shas, as animal food. So why we got in the Korban Omer, which is L'chora, a lowly Korban, which is made out of animal food, when on Shavuos we have the Shtei Alechem, which is made out of Chita, which is a more chashuva food. So why are we counting, having this whole count as Kabbalah Satorah, counting upwards, and referring back to a Korban made out of animal food? Which is a funny thing, what's going on here? These are a couple of background questions.
What was the last one?
Why it was a twofold question. Why are we counting upwards instead of downwards if we count towards Kabbalah Satorah? And why are we making reference back to the Korban HaOmer? What's special about the Korban HaOmer? L'chora, it's a very lowly Korban made out of Sa'orim, which is animal food. Why are we making reference to that in our count towards Kabbalah Satorah? Another kasha on Rashi and Pashas Emor, which might sound familiar to some people, and that is that in Pashas Emor we have the Pashas of the Mo'adim, we go through all the Yom Tovim. And right in the middle of Yom Tovim, the Pasuk talks about the Matnos Hanim of Leket Shechem Peah. And Rashi says, even though it was mentioned already in Parshas Kedoshim the week before, Rashi says, Chozer v'shana, lavar aleihem b'shnei lavin. Fine, if you don't do it, you're over on two lavin. And then Rashi brings down a Medrash that says, Amrav Avdimi Rav Yossi, Maroa Kosov Litno be'emza harigolim. What's the pshat that the Torah felt the need to stick these mitzvos of Matnas Aniyim amongst the regalim Pesach v'Atzeres Mikan, Rosh Hashanah v'Yom Kippurim v'Hachag Mikan. We have Pesach HaShavuos on the one side, Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur and Sukkot on the other side, and right in the middle we have the mitzvahs of Lekach Shechov Peah. Says the Medrash, La'amedcha to teach you Shekol HaNosein Lekach Shechov Peah La'ani K'ra'ui. Anyone who gives Lekach Shechov Peah to the Ani in the proper way, Malan Olav Ki'ilu Bona Beis HaMikdash, V'yikiv Karbonosa V'socho. Says if this person rebuilt the Beis HaMikdash and he brought the Karbonos inside. So I saw Kasha, that is a very funny thing. So Rashi is telling us, the Medrash is saying, since it was put in the middle of Mladen, so it means it's so great that if you do it, it's as if you brought all the Karbonos that were discussed around it and you rebuilt the Beis HaMikdash. So if Tzitzis would have been there, we would have said that about Tzitzis, and if Tzitzis would have been there, we would have said about Tzitzis. What is it about the mitzvah of Lekach Shechov Peah, which Rashi seems to leave off, that is why the Torah places there to teach us that anyone who keeps this mitzvah, which is so great, it's Ki'ilu, he's such a high level that he rebuilt the Beis HaMikdash and brought all the Karbonos. What is it about the mitzvah that's so great? All we know is that it's there, but what is it about the mitzvah that's great that makes it, that the Torah placed it there?
Which Rashi is this?
This is Rashi, Perek Chav Gimel, Pasuk Chav Beis. And the final question is another Gemara in Yevamos, a little bit earlier, about Mem Zayin Amud Beis. The Gemara in Mem Zayin Amud Beis is talking about Mem Zayin, it's not the Mem Zayin Amud Aleph. The Gemara brings out a medrash about a guy who comes to convert what we tell him. The Gemara brings down a whole medrash, a whole braisa. It says, Tan Rabbanan, Ger Shabbalis Gayer, a guy, a ger Shabbalis Gayer, a guy who comes to become a ger, Bizman Hazeh, nowadays, Omrim Lo Marois Shabbos Liz Gayer, what have you seen to come to convert to Judaism? Iata Yodea She Yisrael Bizman Hazeh, Devuyim, Bilchufim, Sechufim, don't you know the Jews have it rough? That no one likes Jews. That they every country attacks them, and no one's happy with them. So im Omer Yodeyani ve'eni kedayif. He says, yeah, I know, and I'm not even worth being with them. Like Halavaya, I should be part of the Yidden. He sees, still wants to be part of the Yidden. So Makabunoso miyad, we accept him right away. Umodiyonoso mitzas mitzas kalos, mitzas mitzas chamulos. We tell him some of the stronger mitzvos and the lighter mitzvos. Umodiyon also avom leket shechol peah, and then we tell him about the avera of leket shechol peah umaiser ani, and then it says umodiyon also unshen shal mitzvos. And then we tell him about the punishment for mitzvos. We tell him that until now, if you would have eaten chaylev, you wouldn't be chayv kares. If you were mechal Shabbos, you wouldn't be chayv skila. Now that you're becoming a yid, if you eat chaylev, you're chayv kares. If you're mechal Shabbos, you're chayv skila. And the braisa goes a little bit further, but that's enough for us. The kasha is, where was Avon Leket Shechon Peah come in? Why are we telling the guy, of all the things that we're telling the guy, we specify telling about the mitzvah of Leket Shechon Peah? So Rashi on Amud Beis gives two pshatim of why we're telling about Leket Shechon Peah. Rashi says, pshat number one is,
a guy who comes
to convert, we tell him about, there are very few things that are listed specifically there, and it's, but the doctor says, you teach him about Leket Shechon Peah. Says Rashi, I'll tell you both pshatim, but we're going to stick with one of them, which Rashi says the ikker. Rashi says in his first pshat that in case a guy, like this person converts and he sees aniyim going into his field, he doesn't take a shotgun and kill them. He should know that there's a mitzvah that he's that the aniyim are allowed to take from his lekach shechon peah. He shouldn't kill them. So Rashi says that's pshat number one. Pshat number two, he says, is, and I'll read it to you. It says, "Ho v'hein makbidin al ha'mamon kol kach."
So they should teach leisertach when you kill.
Ho v'hein makbidin, they're already. That's for them to kill anyway, but okay.
So beat them up.
Does Rashi say kill?
He likes
those. Vomit a lamb of oh, Bidineya. No, you're going to try to kill them in your courts because they stole us. Whatever, we're not getting into that. The second answer, the second part that Rashi says, why you tell them to Lekach Shechon Peah is because the goyim are very makbid on their mamon. Therefore, we tell them that Lekach Shechon Peah, Shema Yachzor Bo Melez Gayer. The same way we're trying to convince them, if you're Mechal Shabbos, you're Chayiv Skila. If you eat Chaylev, you're Chayiv Kares. So we warn them, if you you have to give away Lekach Shechon Peah. You know what? The money is very dear to you. You got to give away a lot of money. And Rashi says that pshat is the Ikur pshat. So it's a pella. If you know the mitzvahs of Lekach Shechon Peah, just a little background information. Leket is when you're gathering your crops and on your way to your house, you drop a couple of kernels. The halacha is, if you drop two kernels, you must leave it. If you drop three kernels, you're allowed to pick it up. There's no mitzvah. The whole mitzvah of leket is like 2 cents. It's like 2 cents. Give me 2 cents. Peah, as we say every morning, el dvarim she'en lam shira peah. There's no shir midarais. It's not that. It's a mashu. These mitzvahs of leket shir peah are like 3 cents a year. So we want to, he loves money. We're like scaring him. Don't become Jewish. If you give away a lot of money, you have to get 3 cents a year. It's a joke. Why don't we tell them about things that cost money? There are many things in Judaism that cost money. You gotta buy a lulav and eser, you gotta build a sukkah, you gotta buy matzah, you gotta buy kosher food. There are things that cost money. Why are we telling them to scare them in terms of monetary reasons? They tell them, that's a pella. It doesn't make any sense. Those are the kashas that we'll attempt to answer. We're gonna try to answer them based on the Mishnah and Pirkei Avos. The Mishnah and Pirkei Avos in Perek Chamishi. Mishnah Yudin here, but other Mishnayos have other ways of splitting out the Mishnayos. But it says like this: in Perek Chamishi, Arba Midos Ba'Adam, there are four Midos to a person. Famous Mishnah: Ha'omer Shali Shali V'Shalach Shalach Zum Midos Beinonis. One who says what's mine is mine, what's yours is yours, he's an average person. It's an average Midah. V'Yesh Omrim Zum Midas Dom. And there are those who say this is the Midas Dom. And the Mishnah goes on to the four scenarios. Shali shalach, v'shalach shali is an amaretz. That's what's mine is yours is mine. He's an amaretz. There's no anything. Shali shalach, v'shalach shalach. What's yours is yours. What's mine is yours is a chassid. Shali shali, v'shalach shali is a rasha. We'll just focus on the beginning of the Mishnah. We have a machlokas in the beginning of the Mishnah. One who says what's mine is mine and yours is yours. One says that's an average guy. One says basically he's a rasha. It's midas dom. So the Rabbeinu Yonah is bothered by Akasha. How do you have a machlokas over here? What's going on over here? Says Rabbeinu Yonah, what kind of person are we dealing with over here? If it's a person that gives that doesn't give the tzedakah that he's mechuyev to give, so of course it's midasim, of course it's a rashi. So he has to give tzedakah, he doesn't give tzedakah. Ella says Rabbeinu Yonah is talking about a person that gives every penny to tzedakah that he has to give. Ella vada, yeah, he asked the kasha.
His kasha was,
ich nechlegu chaf mea tamu v'midos. How do they argue over this midos? He says,
which one?
The first part, it says, what's mine is mine, what's yours is yours. That's a zumidos beinonis. One says you're average, one says you're bad. So it says, what kind of machlokas is that? He says, everyone knows, sheminiyas hatzaka midasom here, he. Everyone knows that if you're not giving a tzaka that you're mechuyev to give, that's midasom. Everyone knows that. And many psukim call you a rasha for not giving tzaka, you're supposed to give. Says Rabbeinu Yonah, elavadai lo nechloku ki'im v'mida levad. Mishnah zu medaveres ba'adam sheno sein tzedakah kivich yuvo. This Mishnah is talking about a person who gives every penny of tzedakah that he's mechuyev to give mitoch hayira ach lo b'teva. But it's talking about a person who gives his tzedakah out of yira. It's not natural for him. It's not second nature for him to give his tzedakah. He gives it out of yira. He realizes if I don't give tzedakah, Hashem's going to punish me. So he's giving everything he's mechuyev to give out of fear of Hashem and not out of the goodness of his heart that it's second nature that he should give. That he should give the tzedakah. That's what Rabbeinu says the Mishnah is talking about. And on that we have a machlokas in the Mishnah. The first man d'amar says zumi das beinonis. He's average because at least he gives what he's mechuyev to give. And the other man d'amar says that's midas tom, that you're giving every penny that you're mechuyev to give. But if you're not giving it second nature, so that's midas tom. It's the person who gives everything that he's mechuyev to give tzedakah, he gives. And the only comes over tzedakah, he gives it. But he doesn't give it because his natural instinct is to give it. He gives it because he realizes he doesn't really want to part with his money, but if I don't give the tzedakah, Hashem's going to punish me. So out of fear of Hashem, he gives the tzedakah. Not out of natural instinct to give it. It's not teva for him. It's not natural for him.
He's a rasha.
According to one opinion, he's a rasha, yes. I think I'll plead this mission, we can answer all our kashas. So I was thinking, when I learned this from Rabbeinu Yonah a few years ago, that a classic example of this, of a person giving something out of Yira and not giving it out of Teva, would be the mitzvah of Leket, Shichu, and Peya. If you think about the mitzvah of Leket, you know that your natural instinct, if you're in the supermarket, you go shopping and you buy 10 apples and you bring them towards your house, and on your way into your house you drop 2 apples, you naturally bend down and pick up the other apples that you dropped. That's natural instinct. A person to give leket, and I think it applies to the other ones as well, but more specifically leket, to give leket, you're showing that your midah of giving tzedakah is teva for you, and not that you're not doing it out of yira. Because a person can plan, if I know I have to give 10% of my money to Meiser, I make $50,000 a year, I have to give $5,000 a year, I can plan in the beginning of the year that I'm going to give $5,000 to tzedakah and I'm prepared for it. So like it doesn't necessarily show so much about my midah of giving. I know I have to give it, so I'm going to give it, I plan for it. But when the ani comes up to you on the street all of a sudden and he catches you off guard, is your natural instinct to give the money? All of a sudden you drop something. Oh wait, I have to leave that to the ani. Do I go with my natural instinct to pick it up? Or is it teva for me? Or if I worked on my midah so much that I'm such a giving person that I realize that I'm able to leave it for the ani? I think that the natural instinct of a person who's doing pay as well, a person is normally, you know, going to harvest his crops, if a normal person would go and he'd make a smooth cut all around, and now the Torah tells you, no, leave off a little bit, leave off a little bit at the corner, against your nature, leave it for the ani. I think a person who's able to exercise these mitzvahs of leket, shecha, and peya is showing that his midah of nedivus of giving this is natural for him. I think that's a test of a person of how well he does this mitzvah. If he's able to leave something there all of a sudden on the spur of the moment, that shows that he's worked on his midos in a way that he's like the Mishnah, like Rabbi Yonah is talking about, that it's teva for him and it's not done out of yira. So I think it's a question I think it answers the kasha that we asked, first of all, in the Gemara Nivamas, that we tell the guy about the leket, shechel, and peya, because money is very dear to him. And so I think the pshat is, what Rashi means to say, it's not the pshat that we're telling him, you have to spend so much money. It's the nature of the giving of the money that we're warning him about. In Echanami, if we want to warn him that if you give away a lot of money, we would tell him about other mitzvahs, we tell him how expensive it is to be a Jew. We wouldn't tell about leket, shechel, and peya. Leket, shechel, and peya, what we're trying to warn him about is not the amount of money, but it's the style in which you must give the money. I want to just say two other diukim in the Mishnah that will clarify this a little bit more. One is that I was bothered in this Mishnah that if you look through the Mishnahs over here, there are many Mishnahs with the same style. It says Arba Midos Ba'adam. The next Mishnah says Arba Midos Ba'deos, about how angry a person gets. It says Arba Midos Ba'talmidim, how much they chap and how much they forget. Arba Midos Ba'nosnei Tztaka. Arba Midos Ba'hocha Beis HaMedrash. So I was bothered. It's a very funny thing. The way that Rabbi Yonah explains the Mishnah, it should have said, Arba Midos B'Nedivus, the Mid of Nedivus, of how giving you are, of how natural it is for you. Why does the Mishnah say Arba Midos Ba'adam? It's a funny word. It sounds to me like the Mishnah saying that this tightens up a person. You want to know the essence of a person? If you look how he has the Mid of Nedivus, how giving the person is, how natural it is for the person to give, that tightens up the person. Arba Midos Ba'adam. Otherwise, it doesn't make any sense. Why are we saying over here Arba Midos Ba'adam? It's just a Mid over here, like it is with everything else. And even more, we know the Gemara tells us that Atem Kurim Adam, the Ein Ha'akam Kurim Adam. A Jew, whenever the Torah says Adam, it refers to a Jew, not to a guy. I think the pshat over here also is Arba Midas Ba'adam. This Midah of Nedivus that the Rabbi Yonah is explaining is only shayach to a Jew, not to a guy. That's why it's perfect. The guy who comes to convert, he has no shayachas to this Midah. That's what we're warning him, we're telling him, Avon Mechet Shechon Peah. We're telling him, you have to realize that you don't have this Midah of Nedivus that the Mishnah and Pergavus is talking about, and that's what you have to work on. If you want to become a Yid, you have to realize that this is how vite it is, that you have to work on your Midos to such a point that you're so giving that it's natural to you, that you're not even doing it out of Yira, you're doing it out of just the goodness of your heart, it's natural. And I once said over, the Nesivah Shalom brings out a beautiful pshat, that it says many times in the Gemara, the drasha from the different psukkah, that we have to follow the Midos of Hashem. It says, Mahu Rachum Af Ata Rachum. Right? Mahu Chan Af Ata Chanan. And he's medayik, that it doesn't say that just like Hashem is a Rachum, therefore you have to do Midas of Rachmanus. You have to act in a way where you're exercising the Midah of Rachmanus or of all the other Midas Hashem has. It doesn't say do actions that do that. It says, Mahu Rachum Af Ata Rachum. Just like Hashem is the Etzim, he's a Rachum, you have to make yourself that you are the Etzim a Rachum. It's not enough that we work on our Midos, that we just do the actions that a person who's a rachum does, meaning we're not going to have compassion on someone. It has to be our essence that we're compassionate to someone. We have to work on ourselves so much that it's natural for us to be compassionate. Not that we act compassionate, even though inside we don't feel that way. Avada, it could be the way to become a compassionate person is through doing those actions. But the end result, what Hashem expects of us, just like Hashem be'etzim is compassionate, we have to be be'etzim compassionate. It has to be natural for us. Obviously, you have to work on it by doing actions of compassion, even if you don't feel compassionate, but that should lead you to your ultimate goal of being the Etzem Arachim, which Hashem is. So, that's, I think, the Pshat is also in the Rashi in Chumash that says the reason why Leket Shechon Peah, the same idea, the reason why that mitzvah is so great, why it's placed in the middle of all the Moadim to tell us how great it is that it's Ki'ilu, you build the Beis HaMikdash and Borah LaKarbanos, it's for the same idea that a person is put into this world to perfect their midos. Perfect the midos to a point where it's natural for them. I think of when a person is able to do this karoi, as Rashi says, you do leket shechel peah karoi, a person has accomplished the goal of being in this world. A person, all his Torah, all his working on himself, all his limud ha-musar is all to refine his midos to a point that it becomes a teva, it becomes natural for him to exercise these midos. And when a person does that, he's fulfilled the tafkid in this world, and therefore it's ki'ilu, he fulfilled the tafkid of the world, which is rebuilding the Beis HaMikdash and bringing the karbanos. I thought possibly we can come back to Sfiras HaOmer, Talmidim Rabbi Akiva, and suggest possible kerutzim. It could be that the reason why when we're counting the Omer, that we're counting back from the Korban Omer, even though it would be a funny thing to count back from the Korban Omer, which is animal food, which is Sa'orim, it could be we would definitely want to mention every night the time of Sfiras, the time of working on our Midah specifically, leading up to Kabbalah HaTorah, could be we want to remind ourselves of animals by referring to animal food, because the difference between a human being and an animal is that a human being, besides his instinct, has his intellect also. An animal works only on instinct. We try to remind ourselves that we have to perfect ourselves so much that we're like animals in a positive way. We have to work on our midos so much that we don't need our intellect in order to do good midos. It has to become an instinct for us. We have to mamish remind ourselves of the carbon owner, which is the animal food, to remind us how far we have to go with our midos, that our midos have to be like animals in a positive way, that our midos are so good and so refined that it's natural for us to do it, just like an animal does whatever it does out of instinct. That's how we have to deal with our good midos. And it could be B'derech Efsher, just one moment. It could be B'derech Efsher, I don't have a riot for this, so B'derech Efsher, that if you, to explain also, Chalino Rabbi Akiva, a lot of them are for Shemesh, doesn't make any sense. Chalino Rabbi Akiva were big tzaddikim, what do you mean they weren't knowing Kovat Zelazeh? It could be that Avada, they weren't knowing Kovat Zelazeh. If we would see them on the street and we would see them acting together, they were acting like big tzaddikim, they were mamash working on their midos. But on the level that they were on, that they were such tzaddikim, so Hashem judged them kechot asara, that it could be that their midas were not as refined enough, that it wasn't beteva for them, it wasn't natural for them, it was hard for them. Meaning Avada, everyone was treating his friend with respect, but the respect he was treating him with it was hard for him. He had to work on it. It wasn't instinctual for him. It wasn't teva for him. He was doing it avira. I know that I have to act nice to my friend, but it wasn't his natural thing, and it could be on their level they should have been at the point where they refined the midas so much that it was beteva. What? We count that because we want to make reference to the Korban HaOmer. We want to bedafka count that from the Omer to remind ourselves each day. The first day passed from the Omer, the second day from the Omer. That's all in order that we should make reference to the Omer. So even though we're leading towards Kabbalah HaTorah and we should really count down, could we be counting up towards Kabbalah HaTorah because that's who will get us to Kabbalah HaTorah. We're refining our midos, lead us to Kabbalah HaTorah. So we need to, it's more important to remind ourselves of the Korban HaOmer to the Mechazek and how well we should work on our midos more than counting towards the actual Kabbalah Torah.